Welcome to the Friends with Money podcast, brought to you by Money Magazine, creating financial freedom for Australians since 1999.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Friends with Money podcast. My name is Tom Watson. I'm a senior journalist here at Money Magazine, and it's lovely to have you tuning in, dear listener. Before we dive into today's show, I'd just like to give a big shout out to those of you who have already sent through episode topics you'd love for us to cover. There's some really awesome ideas in there, which we're definitely keen to run with down the track. So please keep sending your ideas in or any questions or comments you have to our dedicated podcast email, which is podcast@moneymag.com.au. Anyway, on to today's episode, because it's that time of year again. Some call it the most wonderful time of the year. Yes, of course, I'm talking about the end of the financial year and tax time. So with June 31 rapidly approaching, I can't think of a better guest to have on the show to dish out some handy pointers than friend of the pod and director of tax communications at H&R Block, Mark Chapman. Mark, thanks so much for joining us today.
No problem, Tom. How are you?
Yeah, very well, thank you. To start off, Mark, what are some things that individuals can do before the end of the financial year, either to get prepared for tax time or perhaps to get as large a fund as possible?
Yeah, well, you've pretty much hit the nail on the head there. Really, people can do two things. So they can prepare for tax time and they can also proactively seek to increase the size of their refund. So in terms of preparing for tax time, as we head into June, it's a great time to gather your records together, get your invoices, your receipts. If there are any that you can't find, maybe take some time to have a look for them, and basically gather all of that information together so that by the time we get to tax time itself, you've got all of that information in a file, ready to either do the tax return yourself or pass it on to your tax agent. It'll save a lot of time and a lot of hassle if you get all that information together before you attempt to do your tax return. In terms of actually being proactive at increasing your refund potentially, I mean, there are a number of things that you can do. I mean, if we start with the big one, you could potentially look to make a tax deductible superannuation contribution if you've obviously got the cash to hand. So provided the total amount of that contribution, together with any other contributions which have been made on your behalf by your employer during the course of the year, doesn't exceed $27,500. Basically, this is a great way to boost your retirement savings and also to claim a tax deduction for the personal contribution. Obviously, there are some things that you need to do. You need to make that payment by June the 30th. Mm. So you've still got a month to do it, but basically the sooner the better. And you also need to advise your super fund that you've made the payment by the time that you lodge your tax return, which might be sometime later. You can do that by completing an ATO form, which is on the website. But basically, if you do both of those things and your total concessional contributions, as they're called, don't exceed $27,500, you're good to go. I mean, this is really effective if you've got the cash. If you're a higher rate taxpayer, for instance, if you pay, say, $10,000 into your super fund, you get a $4,500 tax deduction.
Oh, wow. So quite substantial.
Absolutely. So it is very worthwhile if you've got the cash. If you don't have the cash, or not as much cash, I mean, for example, you could potentially go out and buy a new handbag or a briefcase or something, provided it's something that's actually used for work. You can claim a tax deduction for that later on. You can prepay some expenses, so you can claim a tax deduction this year for expenses which wholly or partly relate to the next tax year. So things like union fees, professional subscriptions, annual insurance premiums. Consider paying those in advance to accelerate the deduction into this tax year. Charitable deductions. You can claim a deduction for donations to charity, provided the amount is greater than $2, and you've actually got a receipt for that. So that's worthwhile considering as well. And you could potentially look at offsetting any capital gains which you might have during the course of the year with some capital losses. So if you've disposed of shares or other investments during the course of the year, you know that there's a capital gain sitting there. You can potentially take a look at your investment portfolio, identify any assets which you know are sitting at a loss, and potentially look to sell those to crystallize the loss, and then you'll be able to offset that loss against the capital gain. So lots of things that you can potentially do. We've still got about 4 weeks, but definitely it is not something you want to leave to the very last minute. So you should probably take some action now if you're looking to crystallize those tax deductions.
Always good to be proactive. I think I've learned that the hard way sometimes. aside from individuals, what about anyone who runs a small business or is self-employed? Is there anything they can do before June 31st?
Yeah, well, probably the main thing for small businesses who, again, might have some cash left over is to take advantage of the temporary full expensing scheme. That's a scheme which was introduced by the previous government back in 2020, and it enables businesses to claim a tax deduction, an immediate tax deduction, for the entire cost of any capital assets that they buy for their business. So, things like computers, plant and equipment, office equipment, even motor vehicles, provided the cost is less than $60,733. You can claim an immediate tax deduction for those capital assets. So it absolutely makes sense to take advantage of that as we go into June. There might be some end of financial year specials out there, so you might get a discount on any purchases, and you'll be able to claim an immediate tax deduction rather than claiming depreciation over a number of years. So this is a great way of boosting the efficiency of your business and doing it in a tax effective way. Other than that, you can prepay expenses in a business. The basic rule is that a deduction is available for expenses that cover a period of less than 12 months. So that can cover things such as insurance premiums, telephone and internet services, subscriptions to trade or professional bodies, rent on your premises, bookings for seminars, conferences, or business trips. If these expenses relate to the next tax year, if you pay them this year, you'll get the deduction this year. In addition, employers can, they actually need to pay their superannuation contributions on behalf of their employees.
Of course.
By June the 30th. June the 30th is the absolute cutoff. It has to be actually with the superannuation fund by then. So realistically, given the way the banking system works, you need to give 2 or 3 days before that to actually pay those superannuation contributions. So that needs to be done during the month of June in order to claim the deduction this year. And you can potentially you can go through your debtors list if there are any debtors on there that you don't think are going to pay. They can basically be written off, and you can claim a tax deduction for that. That needs to be done properly. There needs to be full investigation of the debt, and there needs to be minutes writing off the debt. But provided that's done, there is potentially a deduction there for bad debts.
Brilliant. Mark, I feel like we always focus on what people can do right before the end of the financial year. It's probably when you get most of your questions. But What are things that you might be able to recommend that people can start to think about or start doing from July 1? For instance, I'm thinking about salary sacrificing for the first time, which I know you can do at any time, but it's definitely on my to-do list from July 1.
Yeah, well, things like salary sacrifice, it can be very tax effective, particularly if you're salary sacrificing something which doesn't have an FBT impact. So, for example, salary sacrificing super doesn't have an FBT impact. Salary sacrificing certain work-related technology deductions, so, for example, a laptop or a desktop computer or a mobile phone, again, that doesn't have any FBT implications. So, therefore, there is a great deal of a great incentive to get into those. So obviously, the sooner that you do that, then the greater the tax saving will ultimately be. So getting into that in July, August obviously makes a great deal of sense. But just taking it back to basics, really, I mean, the first thing I said was that you need to spend June pulling together your records. Well, ideally, from July, you need to be starting that process anew, making sure that whenever you spend something that's work-related, you actually keep the invoice, that it's on hand, that you won't have to spend your June hunting high and low for invoices earlier in the year. You've got them in one place, in a file, ready to go come tax time. So basically, if you do that during the course of the year, then you won't have to get into that situation of scrambling around for receipts and invoices in June.
Sounds like it pays to be organized then.
Absolutely, it does.
Advice that I think I could very much take on. Well, there's a ton of tips. I think I've ticked off about 20 on my hand. So we might leave it there, Mark. But thank you so much for your time today. And I'm sure it won't be too long before we get you on the show again.
It's a great pleasure.
And don't forget, if you enjoy listening to Friends with Money, you can help us out by recommending it to your own friends and family, of course, or by leaving us a glowing review on iTunes or the Apple Podcast app. And while you're there, make sure you hit the subscribe button so you don't miss out on our future episodes. And for more of the latest news and views, including articles from myself and our wonderful contributors like Mark, head over to moneymag.com.au. That's it for this episode of the Friends with Money podcast. I'm Tom Watson. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to the Friends with Money podcast. For credible, independent, and easy to understand financial commentary, visit moneymag.com.au. Please remember that the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are general in nature, and further independent advice and research based on your personal circumstances should be sought before making an investment decision.